Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS. We are Catholic Radio for the Christian community. Good morning. Welcome to Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and
Chris McGregor.
And it must be Monday because, there's the feel of geekiness in the air. And we have Mark Hart with us, the Bible geek. Mark, of course, the vice president of Life Teen International. Mark leads conferences, retreats, and missions for teens and adults around the world. Also an author. Blessed Are the Bored in Spirit, a great book, A Young Catholic Search for Meaning, and Ask the Bible Geek 1 and 2, answering questions from Catholic teens. And Mark and his lovely wife Mel and their two beautiful daughters, Hope and Trinity, whom we have seen many, many photos of. They are just beautiful. You
Can't
are a
get
blessed
enough
man.
Of them.
You
yeah.
are a blessed man.
Oh, God is good. God is very, very good. Words can't express.
You always find the right words, Mark.
Gosh, I sure wish that was the case. I'm glad you think so. The next time that my wife and I are having a quote-unquote discussion, I'll call you guys up because I can't ever seem to find the right words in those moments.
You have that problem too,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, Bruce just had one of those days.
Yeah, I get that look and I'm like, uh-oh.
My wife, God love her. The other day we were having a little tiff, and it was pretty funny. I just was not communicating. What I was trying to say was just not coming out the right way. And what my intentions were inside is definitely not what my humanity was saying on the outside.
Yeah.
And she looked at me, and this is just, you know, she's done this before, but every once in a while she does this. It hits me. She says, "I don't know how." You know, she says, you can walk into arenas of thousands of people and not be nervous. She says, I don't know how you can communicate so effectively from a stage and sit on this sofa in our living room and be so bad at it.
Thank you. Thank you, Mel. That's exactly what I would say on occasion.
Mark Hart, Bruce McGregor, twins separated at birth.
This is on every morning, talking to thousands of people. But honey, when there's not a microphone on, you stink.
Oh, Mel, yes. I think it's the state of what it is to be man. And that woman.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you find a way of helping break open important truths, but also those little moments that we kind of miss? And I think that's what's so neat about Ask the Bible Geek, too, because you do that, especially in your humor. Make a stop and look at some things we take for granted.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I hope so. You know, when I was actually putting together Bible Geek 2, it was interesting. You know, the first one was a lot of general questions about God in terms of God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Catholic Church and the Bible. And when I was doing the sequel, you know, it was trying to break out into some different settings. You know, so we did a whole chapter on Lent and Easter, a whole chapter on Advent and Christmas, a whole chapter on really difficult things that go on in your life, things that kind of come up, things you deal with. A whole chapter on just when your life is just seemingly boring or ordinary, and you're just not really experiencing God, quote unquote. But then the fifth chapter is about ten reflections or so, just on finding God in the little times and the little things and the everyday things, and I think that I really think that really is one of the greatest secrets of living the Christian life and living the Catholic life. It's easy to find God or sense God or even sense the lack of God or the void of God, quote unquote, that we feel, when bad times happen, when big things are happening, when we're going through massive change, if it's death or a job change or bankruptcy or stress or, marriages or, kids or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, it's where's God on the average Tuesday afternoon? You know, where's God on the Thursday morning, when you're late for work, you're stuck in traffic, and you spill coffee on yourself? Where's God? And I think a lot of times we just kind of say, well, God isn't there. God's there in the big moments. God's there in the moments I think of him. But how many times do we really stop in the course of the day and look around ourselves and really notice God in the little things? And how often can we look at things that are around us all the time? And this is really, I think, a huge key to holiness, is how do we look around wherever you're sitting right now, for instance? How do you look around the room that you're in, the car that you're in, the office that you're in? How can you look around, and what around you points you back to God? What around you reminds you of God? And not just sacramentals, not just icons, not just pictures and things like that, but everything, like all the way down to the lights. Is it natural light spilling through a window, and does that take you back into God, the Creator? Is it just a random fluorescent light that's buzzing in a ceiling above you in a cubicle, and reminding us that Jesus is the light of the world, John 8. How do we find those things around us, the everyday things, and how do we make God, who is everywhere and in everything, how do we make that relationship to him more constant in our everyday life?
Yeah.
What a wonderful thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was just going to say, while you were talking, I was remembering a song that was popular years ago. And, of course, it was Bette Midler, and she's saying, "How God is watching us from a distance."
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when that came on, I thought,
eh?
What? I mean, that's... What is that? God is not that far away. And what you're saying, he is surrounding us at all times.
And one of the gifts, one of the reasons that God gives us relationships is that because the Trinity is a relationship. And one of the reasons that God gives us children and grandchildren, not just to teach us sacrifice, not just to teach us selflessness, although that absolutely goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons that he does that, I really believe, is that in those moments when we notice God in those little parts of our relationships, is, you know, that is a mirroring. I mean, the very fact that we notice that shows us that we have a God, our Father, who notices these things. You know, and I mean, just the other day, you know, Mel and I were sitting on the sofa, you know, and our older daughter Hope was dancing around, and as she was dancing around, she was, you know, she was kind of doing these arm gestures and foot gestures, and she wanted so badly to get our attention, you know, and she was doing it, and then it was almost like it became like this more pronounced thing, and then she had a stuffed animal, and she was being really goofy, and it was so funny. We just sat and watched her, and just watched the beauty of this pure child of God, you know, just expressing herself in all these different ways. But what was amazing was the little details in it. You know, as she was picking up the stuffed animal or picking up the doll, or when she got up onto the sofa, or she was spinning around in circles, and she was doing it to the music, and there was all these little details that if you're really in the course of the day, if she would have been doing it while we're paying bills, we're on the phone, we're making dinner, whatever, it wouldn't have been nearly as cute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was only the fact that we were stopped, we were sitting there and really focusing attention. And then at that moment, it became more than just, here's a little four-year-old doing something cute. It really became, wow, look at this beautiful child of God. Look at the way that she's using her body, her gifts, everything that God's given her to express herself, you know, as goofy as it is. You know, and that's actually... There was one passage I wrote in Bible Geek 2, and it was based on Psalm 116. There's a beautiful verse in Psalm 116. It just says, "The Lord preserves the simple."
Ding.
And I think a lot of times we just automatically, and then the psalmist referring to people, and that's true. God preserves us in our simplicity. But I like to focus more on the word of He preserves.
Mm-hmm.
Like He preserves the simple. You know, that not just simple people, but simple things, like that the Lord protects them and upholds them, and that those are sacred times, that there's simple things in our life that are really sacred moments. There's certain times in our life that bring us a ton of joy, and they bring us joy in our humanity, you know, and sometimes we don't look at those as sacred moments, you know, and actually the passage I wrote about was, you know, does your pillow change temperature? Like, one of my favorite moments of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Every night, pretty much, I wake up at least two or three times a night. There's always kids getting in or out of bed, you know. And one of my favorite things when I get into bed is when the pillow's cold. And one of my favorite sacred moments in the middle of the night is when, like, if I've woken up once and I flip that pillow over and the other side is cold, and it seems really stupid and really insignificant, and it seems just really human, and you kind of go, where's the religious significance in that? And to me, that is really... the essence of something like Psalm 116, but the Lord preserves the simple, is that he's basically saying that if you are a simple-hearted person, and if you can look at those simple human joys, that when you look at the simple human joys and you acknowledge, it's not like God spoke to an angel, flew down, told me to flip the pillow. That's not it. But if we look at those simple joys in the world, in our humanity, that those things that bring us pleasure, that bring us happiness, and we look at those and we just stop long enough to just acknowledge the fact that we are creation, the fact that these things exist to make our creation a little bit nicer, to make our life a little bit calmer, that those little things that bring us joy that might not bring anybody else joy, that seem insignificant in the grand universal scheme of things, if even those little minute things can draw our attention back to God, our thanksgiving back to God, of wow, like it's so beautiful that the Creator in His grand design would create something in such a way that would bring me, a sinner, joy in the midst of my walk. It really does tie you closer to God.
Yeah,
I do, and I love those moments. I mean, Bruce knows, but I'm a pillow person. I love to have lots of pillows. And
there's a little room for me left in the bed.
Yeah,
after
I do.
All her
I'm
pillows.
A big pillow
That's what
person.
We're saying here. Yeah.
And it wasn't until I read that passage. First, it sounds funny when you're able to put your head on a cold pillow, but then there is. It's that delight It's delighting and just those special things.
Well, how many things like that do we have in the course of the day? And you know what's interesting is that we were such creatures of habit that we fall into traps, I think, and it doesn't make us awful, it makes us human. We fall into traps in our home. Like, people like things a certain way. Like you're saying, Kurt, you love pillows on the bed, you know? I mean, what about that one chair in the house that you just love to sit in and have a cup of coffee? You know, what about that one moment of the day? What about people that get up early and maybe they have to go through traffic, but maybe there's that one time a day or the week when the sun really breaks through, you know, like you see sunrise. What about like when the sun breaks through and starts spilling light through the clouds? I mean, how often can you look at that and not think of God? You know, I mean, how about when you've been traveling and you've gotten off a plane and you get home, you take a really hot shower and you just feel better? You know, I mean, what about those moments in the course of the day, in the course of the week, that you just look forward to? You don't even realize how you look forward to it. You don't even realize how therapeutic and how cathartic it can be. You know, I mean, when you're on the run the whole time, but you know, the whole week, the whole day, but you get to really have that one really good meal that you're able to make at home. Maybe for some people it's cooking a meal. For some people it's just getting to go out to their favorite restaurant, you know, every once in a while. For some people, you know, hopefully it's, if they're married, hopefully it's when you kiss your spouse goodbye in the morning, or when, the first time you get to see him when you come home. You know, maybe it's for a parent, it's when you walk in the door and you're putting your stuff down and you hear your child yell your name or come running up to you. I mean, there's just those moments, and it does seem like insignificant things, but they're not. They're sacred. They're sacred gifts from a father who desperately loves his children. And that he notices, and when he notices, like, that God is totally present, just like I was saying before, like Mel and I are on the sofa watching our children, completely present to us. And in those moments, when he gives us these gifts, they take the ordinarily mundane, the ordinarily habitual, sometimes the ordinarily obstacle-filled life, and it's just a gentle, subtle reminder in our humanity of how much God loves us.
Yeah. And I think really, Mark, we have to be especially attuned to those kinds of things because we do have a lot of pressures and pulls on us as we go through the day, particularly, you know, in regards to work and all the things it can bring, being stuck in traffic. I mean, there is so much. And I mean, we really do need to take time to stop and reflect. And I mean, I'm really going to take what you said to heart because when I'm stressing, I'm going to take just a few minutes and go, you know, I'm going to really start thinking about everything that happened today, and I will bet you about 100% of the time, all the stuff that makes me smile, for the most part, is going to be emanating from Chris or from the kids. I mean, the whole family bond, and we do need that. I mean, we need joy.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. You know, actually, I actually did a retreat kind of on this concept a couple years back, and based the whole thing on 1 Samuel 17. In 1 Samuel 17, a young man named David, who we all know very well, as before he goes to face the giant Goliath of Gath, he walks over to a brook, he kneels down next to the brook, and he seeks out five smooth stones, so that he knows will fit well in the sling that he, you know, that he knows he's going to have. And he puts those five stones in his side pouch. Now, obviously, as we know the story goes, all he needed was one, you know, because he hit Goliath. But what was interesting to me was that he felt that five would be enough. What was really interesting to me is that he thought he'd have a chance to sling five stones.
Yeah.
You know? He didn't have that kind of time. But he was confident, and he put those five in his bag, and basically he said, this will be enough to conquer this giant. This will be enough to face and conquer the giant that stands before me. And it wasn't four, and it wasn't six, it was five, which was really interesting. And basically the whole concept of this retreat was, we all have giants in our life. We all have obstacles in our life that stand between us and the glory of God, that stand between the world and the glory of God, that stand between us and accomplishing what we want to accomplish. And sometimes that giant comes in the form of fear. Sometimes it comes in the form of stress. Sometimes it comes in the form of debt, temptation, guilt, whatever it is. And basically, basically the step one was acknowledge what the giants are in your life. Acknowledge what those things are that stress you out, that very quickly can turn a good day into a bad day, can very quickly turn a very prayerful day in which you're very affirmed and very up into a day where you're very downtrodden and you're feeling very defeated. Mm-hmm. What are those giants in your life? And everybody has them in their homes, in their workplaces, in schools, whatever it is. Acknowledging that and then saying to yourself, now, what are five things in your life? What are five things that you need to keep close to you, you need to have with you, that you need to put right on your waist, five things that you can proactively go and take or seek out, five things you can proactively do to conquer that giant? And on any given day, you might only need one of them. You know, so basically the whole premise was, in the course of a week, what are five things you need to do? And if one of those things is, you know what, I just need to have 30 minutes alone, you know, once a week or once a day or that kind of thing, okay, that's a good stone. Now what do? You got to get up earlier and have your 30 minutes of silence. Or you have to, you know what, then you have to do lunch differently. Maybe you go have lunch by yourself, you just go sit in silence or whatever it's going to be, you know. For me, it's adoration. That's one of my stones. If I don't go to adoration every day, you know, in mass every day, I'm not fit. I mean, I very easily conquered if I'm not with the Lord in the Eucharist, you know. For me, one of my stones is Scripture. If I don't read Scripture every day, I start to lose a little bit of hope. You know, I lose a little bit of my joy, you know. If I don't have, you know, for my stones, like if I don't have that bedtime and prayer time and story time with my kids at night, you know, I really find myself missing it, you know. So I think everybody has the opportunity to look at their life and say, what are some tangible, practical things that I need to put into my schedule every day or every week that'll ensure that no matter what giant is looming in front of me, I'm not going to be defeated by him?
Wonderful, wonderful advice. What a wonderful practice. I have to find, I think, one more thing. I'll figure it out.
There you go.
I got four. Do one more.
Five stones. That's all.
Yeah,
it's all 1 Samuel 17. It's a great story if anybody hasn't read it in a while.
There you go. Mentally working on that list already, huh?
No, okay. No problem.
Well, Mark, we want to thank you so much for being with us today. As always, very enlightening. And again, we do want to encourage everyone to pick up a copy of Mark's latest book, Ask the Bible Geek 2, More Answers to Questions from Catholic Teens. And again, you'll find that at all your favorite booksellers, online, everywhere as well. And we want to thank you, Mark, for being on with us every Monday for editions of Ask the Bible Geek, right here live on Spirit Catholic Radio.
No, it is my pleasure. God bless y'all.
And you too.